Hi, everyone. Good to see you. Good morning. So here's a mission statement. Try and guess whose it is. Blank is a global community, welcoming people from every discipline and culture who seek a deeper understanding of the world. Anybody know that? You think it's ours? It's not ours? Okay. It could be ours, right? Or the Unitarian Universalist Association. It's actually TEDS, the TED Conference, Technology, Education, and Design. Jonathan Haidt began his TED Talk on the moral roots of liberals and conservatives by reading this mission. From there, he asked the crowd of near 1,000 people to acknowledge with a raising of their hands, first, who was a political conservative? And 7 people raised their hands. And then, who's a libertarian? And then maybe 7 more raised their hands. And then finally, who here is a liberal? And nearly all the hands in the large auditorium were raised. How will you live into your mission, he asked, to change attitudes, lives, and ultimately the world, if your audience is so decidedly segregated? Your mission is to be a global community. Don't you see that your capacity is challenged from the start, hampered by your isolation? I listen to C-SPAN. I think it's something that I'm required to do, residing here so close to our fair capital city. But it's also one of the ways that I counter my own isolation. I listen to the congressional debates. It can be painful, but it helps me to heal something that was broken some years back. My mother and I, we fall on opposite sides of the partisan divide. At first, we struggled to understand one another. And then we struggled to accept one another. And then we struggled to even listen to one another. As the divide between us grew, we who were once bonded by tissue, fed by the same blood and lungs, forgot how to feel the bond between us. I knew I needed to make a change somehow. I've been teaching and talking about healing the partisan divide for a long while. Many of you have heard some sermons on this topic before, I'm sure. Yeah. Your favorite, right, Mike? I've been working with a number of colleagues. I've been working with the Reverend Nancy McDonald Ladd, Paul Roach, who's the board president here in this congregation, and my own husband, Reverend Scott Samler Michael. And we have been working with the Unitarian Universalist Association, and they have finally taken notice. It took a while. Recently, the UUA contacted me and asked me to speak to one of their donors. One of their donors, who happens to be a conservative, politically had decided to stop giving them money because he felt that his understanding of the world was not represented, not even seen, acknowledged, that he was no longer cared for by the association. And so the association, their finance folks, they contacted me and said, why don't you talk to this person? You do this work. Maybe you can get him to give us some money. And that really didn't make me happy. Because if I was going to talk to this individual, I'd also want to talk to the Unitarian Universalist Association and ask them to start doing this work of healing the partisan divide and paying attention to the things that keep us apart. And they actually listened to me. And we built a page, a whole website page on the partisan division work that these colleagues and I have been doing. And very soon, you'll see it. It'll be out there as a teaching tool for all of our congregations. I am honored that this is happening. So this work that I've been doing, it was partially inspired by my own experience with my family. And this is an experience where we started developing assumptions about one another long before we even had our conversations, assumptions about where we would stand. And so one of the exercises that I do in the Beyond Partisan Division work is an exercise on assumptions. And it starts out this way. I have one person stand here, and we call this person a NASCAR fan. And then I have one person stand here, and we call this person an opera fan. And I invite the gathered community to say, tell me things that you think are true about these individuals. So we have NASCAR fan and an opera fan. And folks will say, well, the NASCAR fan's probably Southern. Then I'll have someone stand right here in front of the NASCAR fan. And then someone else will say, the opera fan, they're probably rich. And someone will stand there in front of the opera fan. Oh, the NASCAR fan, they're probably a Republican. And someone else will stand in front of them. And then the opera fan, they're probably a Democrat. And someone will stand in front of them. And then we look and we see what has happened. And we realize that all of these assumptions have blocked the opera fan and the NASCAR fan from seeing one another. The assumptions that they hold about one another, that we hold about one another, they keep us from being able to see the truth of the other person. The assumptions get in our way. My mother and I, we worked on healing our divide by rejecting our assumptions. Our angry conversations, they had started to sound eerily like presidential debates. As we shouted our position, we were using the rhetoric of our party. I'd learned my words on NPR. My mom had learned her words on Fox. And as soon as we heard one another's words, we blistered. The words were our blinders, blocking us from hearing the values behind them. When we looked past the rhetoric, we learned that we had many similar dreams of the world we wanted to build. Sometimes we had very different ideas of how to get there. I started listening to C-SPAN not because there isn't any rhetoric there, but at least there, the ideas are fresh. They're not yet passed through the secondary medium of a media report, which, as we know, is not fair and balanced. Not NPR and not Fox. Is our mission here in this congregation, is it like that of partisan politics? Is it a mission meant to divide us? Or are we called, like the TED Talk community, to reach out and unite a global community? When those critical to our tradition, our religious tradition, ask me, is Unitarian Universalism a real religion? People ask me this all the time. I say no if you believe that religion is about separating the saved from the damned. But if you believe that religion is about uniting people, we are a very real religion. Remember that one. It's a great elevator speech. The principles of the Unitarian Universalist Association include, and please feel welcome to follow along, the principles are in the front of the gray hymnals. The first is the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. You probably know that one. It's the easiest to remember. But it's also the most difficult to live. There's also acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth. I struggle with this one. I'm more interested in understanding than acceptance. Acceptance is only one step removed from tolerance. Understanding is what heals, but here I'm just playing that consummate editor game, trying to come up with the perfect word. And we Unitarian Universalists, we love to edit, don't we? We're doing some mission-building work here in our congregation, rewriting our mission and our vision and hopefully affirming a covenant. Before I invited our leaders to engage in the first brainstorming conversations, we gave our board a try. They began by working with some suggested mission and vision statements and changing and amending them. And after about 20 emails, all with profound and beautiful explanations of why one word was better than another, I wrote, hey, let's see if we can live with this last one. We couldn't. The emails kept coming. Perhaps our mission is simply to edit the heck out of everything. So for now, let's just let acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations stay. I can be at peace with that one. Because as fun and at times as necessary as editing is, it can blind us. Editing is about discerning what doesn't fit, not about discovering what could. A new draft mission has been proposed for this congregation. We still have time to work on it, to edit it, but I think it's pretty close. It grew out of our leaders' work and then all of our reflections in the fellowship hall. It's this: seek, love, and serve boldly. Seek, love, and serve boldly. That's what we do. One of the things I heard over and over again when we spoke about our callings and what we find here, I heard the word courage, and you shared it this morning. You find the courage to be the person you want to be, the courage to reach out beyond what is immediately comfortable because you are loved and because you are called to love something else beyond yourself. Back to Jonathan Haidt. He said that the TED audience, he said this to the TED audience, how, pray you, will you change the world if you, elite group, only admit, welcome, and accept, understand, and love people like you? If the TED mission, if Unitarian Universalism's mission, if this congregation's mission were solely to accept people like us, further the reach of love in our own lives, no amount of segregation, of specialization, of isolation, of seclusion would harm our capacity to do just that. But we are a far bolder people, right? We are a courageous people, right? Right?
Yes.
Then I must ask you, how can we do this? How can we do this if we subtly and not so subtly offer little or no acceptance and even less understanding to those in that other political party? Here's where this gets real. Sunday morning service, it's the most segregated hour of the week. Segregated between rich and poor, educated and not, black and white, politically liberal and politically conservative. Sure, there are those few thick-skinned that fight to remain, but most don't want to have to fight their way through a Sunday service where they see from the parking lot to the pew, and what they hear from the pulpit to the coffee hour reminds them that they are an outsider and often misaligned. You may be asking now, and it makes a whole lot of sense if you are, but wait, politically conservative people wouldn't want to be Unitarian Universalists. They are just about anti everything we stand for. Some are, but not all. The assumption that they are is the fallacy that serves the partisan mission, not ours. So, my parents, for a long time, came to the Unitarian Universalist congregation in New Haven, Connecticut with me. That's how I ended up there. They brought me there as a child. But slowly and subtly, they started to feel like they were not accepted, were not loved there for who they were. Because there was a number of slanderous things said at coffee hour about Republicans because the folks who were sharing them didn't know that the people they were talking to were. My parents, they accepted all of my friends, loved all the crazy people I brought home, and man, they were kind of crazy. My parents were open, socially liberal in all the ways that I am, but they're conservative financially. And so as Republicans, they felt rejected in our Unitarian Universalist congregation and stopped going. Their story is not solitary. I've collected the unheard voices of Unitarian Universalist conservatives, and here's what some say. I would be uncomfortable mentioning, this anonymous person says, that I side with the Republican Party on some issues. Even though I am not ashamed of any of my political views, for some reason, I think that my congregation would think less of me if they knew. And another anonymous person, if you were going to come out to your UU congregation as gay, Christian, or Republican, it seems like Republican would have to be the hardest. My father is one of those thick-skinned UUs. He holds firmly to the original Republican ideals. When I tell this to my friends, I always qualify it by sharing the fullness of his ideology. You might be surprised to learn that my Republican father and I stood out in the rain together, passing out flyers and working diligently for gay rights. We are all more complex than our labels allow. And finally, this last anonymous voice. I've heard many members make references to the Republican Party as if everyone in the room were a Democrat and shared a common opinion. Sadly, I once watched a member get up and leave a service when an announcement presumed solidarity around a single political point. I'm an independent. The reading from Jonathan Haidt described this very natural human behavior born of our evolution, lodged in our brainstems, inseparable from our identities, to separate ourselves into groups or teams. When I listen to NPR or President Obama, a very similar glee rises up within as when the Ravens, my football team, wins. I associate intellectually with the political positions of the left, but I am not immune to the emotional call of the group, of my team. I celebrate my political side like I celebrate my Ravens. Too bad my Ravens aren't doing so well recently. Quite simply put, if this groupishness were not a part of our evolved behavior, partisan or party politics wouldn't work. We would resist aligning ourselves with a team. We would all fight like goats, fighting to be king of the hill. Our groupishness, it's not bad, it's natural, and it's what has allowed us to build civilizations. It's what makes Unitarian Universalism as a faith tradition possible, but it's also what can, if we trust it too much, if we invest it with too much weight, it's what will inhibit our higher calling to seek, serve, and love boldly. To seek, serve, and love boldly. The notions that sever us, that segregate us, they cannot save us. When the UU Association joined the civil rights struggle in greater numbers and with more power than any other majority white faith tradition, our congregations were composed at that time of 60% Democrats, 40% Republicans. You heard that right. And we were able to enter into that struggle for civil rights with power and honor, because for us it wasn't a way to align ourselves with one party, with one team, but to align ourselves with a moral mission that was greater than any one particular party, a mission that called us to unite so we could heal our world. Amen. Sunday morning, it's the most segregated hour of the week, but it need not be. To reverse this, we need to believe. Yes, Unitarian Universalists, we need to believe that our mission is not to edit the heck out of everything, but to love the hell out of it. To love it so much that the hell, the painful divides, the impossible isolation, to love so much that this hell dissolves, to love the partisan divide out of our congregations, and in so doing, to love the hell out of the world. May it be so. Amen.